This is your NPR News Update for Friday, June 8th. I'm Stephanie Curtis. Bob Collins is here. Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
You wrote a very interesting column today.
For a change?
For a change. No, that's not for a change, but I was very interested in it.
All right, good.
So earlier this week, the fashion designer Kate Spade died. She killed herself. Yep. And yesterday, the CDC, was it yesterday the CDC mm-hmm. came out with the numbers mm-hmm. that were incredibly alarming yeah. about the increase in suicide rates around the country, and especially here in Minnesota compared to a lot of other states. We yeah. had a larger growth of suicide numbers of suicides.
Right.
And now today we found out that Anthony Bourdain
yep.
killed himself
yep.
in France, in Strasbourg. And you noticed something unusual about the traffic.
Well, not that
in
unusual.
The web traffic.
I was not surprised, I guess, that the CDC report, which is essentially a call to arms against suicide, got met with a relative shrug of the shoulder by folks. I know I put up a piece on it, and it got almost no readership compared to, oh, I don't know, an obituary of a woman in Redwood Falls or just about anything else. And I was surprised today on Twitter about the number of people, once that report was referenced elsewhere, who were surprised to find out that suicide is the second leading cause of death of children in Minnesota, next to accidents. Because that statistic hasn't changed in decades. I mean, I remember learning about it myself 14 years ago, back when we did a mental health project here at NPR called Bad State of Mind, which is still online. That hasn't, you know, changed at all. And we think highly of ourselves, and we should think highly of ourselves in Minnesota for the Minnesota miracle and what we provided. But on the question of access to and affordability of mental health care to prevent suicide, we're not very good at it, even though all of the surveys show that we're better than most other places. That's the frightening aspect, I think, of this. So anyway, that was generally, you know, what the piece was about. And then the other aspect of it is how people react when there is a famous person who takes their own life. And appropriately, they're shocked and they're grieving, and there's nothing at all wrong with that. But on the other hand, it also spawns, tweets and stuff that I think shifts the burden of responding to people who are suffering onto the people who are suffering. And so you get a lot of, if only they had called the 1-800 number for suicide, or please know help is available. They know help is available.
Yeah.
The problem, there are a number of problems. One is it's hard to access that help. You can access information about that help, but that's not the same as actually accessing the help. And the other thing is there's a sense of failure among people who are mentally ill and people who take their own lives. They're not dumb. They're smart. And for them, suicide is a logical result of, in many cases, seeking help and the help not working, and that only feeding the sense of being personal failures, in which everybody else, they think, is better off without them.
Yeah.
So.
I want to know what you think about this. Val Kilmer was tweeting about and writing about his friend Anthony Bourdain,
yeah,
and talking about how angry he was at Anthony, how terribly selfish Anthony
is. Yeah,
you get
that a lot, yeah.
And I was wondering what you think about that.
That's about as ignorant as it gets, which Val Kilmer fits the bill anyway. and again, that is shifting the burden to everything upon those people. And as I just said, if you talk to people who have attempted suicide or are contemplating suicide, you will find, I suggest more often than not, that they are viewing this not so much as a relief or a release of their own burden, but a lifting of the burden that they think they impose on other people. You know, a mental illness and a mental health is a failure of cognitive function. It's not it's not a behavioral or a character flaw. It is a lack of cognitive function. We've been on this planet for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and we still don't know what makes the brain work. And so anyone who is telling you, frankly, how it works, you know, whether it's being salvaged or not, is an idiot. That's my view anyway.
I think that's a pointed and accurate view.
Well, I like to hear that.
All right. You know, just to promise people, there's also something news cut that's a little lighter today.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the jam session or the man who holds babies?
Yeah, Fargo.
Fargo.
she turns up her nose at Fargo.
I don't.
All right. That's
fine. I like Fargo.
Yeah. They've had a 10-day, or they're in the middle of wrapping up a 10-day celebration of music in Fargo. And so they're trying to set a record for the longest continuous jam session.
This is my nightmare. A jam
really?
Session is like my nightmare.
Why?
I'm a big fan of songs.
Yes.
Beginning, middle, end. I love a song. I'm a real person who likes lyrics.
Right.
So anytime people are like, "Oh my God, they were jam," I'm like, "No, I can't."
Not your thing.
Not my
thing. Stay away from Fargo, kid.
Yeah. I like that they're reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
The jam stars. So that's on the website too. Okay, but back to taking your life. If someone is worried about somebody, what do you think people can do? You've thought about a lot about this.
Well, there's two parts to that question. One is on a personal level. You know, what can you do to somebody you know is contemplating suicide? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, you know, fairly obvious. You just keep telling them that you love them more than anything else. Don't tell them they're wrong. And go talk to somebody to relieve your own burden, because it's exhausting being a loved one of somebody who is depressed and suicidal. And from time to time, you're going to have the urge to strike out back at that person that you're mm-hmm. trying to help. That's not going to help at all. So have somebody else that you can talk to and take care of yourself. And then the other aspect I wrote on this deal, when we talk about people asking for help, people have been asking for help, and the societal answer has been no. That's why Forest Lake turned down a mental health clinic. Why somebody in Faribault this week said, "Oh, maybe we need a mental health clinic, but I'm worried about what the impact will be on my children." When we're cutting Medicaid funding so that some of the mental health houses have to close in Minnesota, when you call the police, when your loved one is in crisis and it ends up being a SWAT shootout, all of those are no answers, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we can turn those to yes. We can do that anytime we want to. We just have to want to.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
I'm glad I could lighten things up for you today.
It's good to have big thoughts.
Yeah, I try.